الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الأنبياء وإمام الرسل سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وقرة أعيننا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا. ويقول الله سبحانه وتعالى: محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم، إلى آخر الآية. ويقول سبحانه: لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل، أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا، وكلا وعد الله الحسنى. ويقول سبحانه: ومن الناس من يشري نفسه ابتغاء مرضات الله، والله رؤوف بالعباد. وقال عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه: من كان مستنا فليستن بمن قد مات، فإن الحي لا تؤمن عليه الفتنة. أولئك أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، كانوا أبر هذه الأمة قلوبا وأعمقها علما وأقلها تكلفا. فاعرفوا لهم فضلهم، وفي رواية: فاعرفوا لهم حقهم، وتمسكوا بهديهم، فإنهم كانوا على الهدي المستقيم. Among the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a companion by the name of Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu anhu. His kunya and patronym was Abu Yahya. His father's name was Sinan, who was the son of Malik, who was the son of Amr, who was the son of Aqil, who was the son of Amir, who was the son of Khuzaymah, who was the son of Ka'ab, who was the son of As'ad, who was the son of Aslam, who was the son of Ausmanat, who was the son of Namir, who was the son of Qasit, who was the son of Hinb, who was the son of Afsa, who was the son of Du'ma, who was the son of Jadila, who was the son of Asad, who was the son of Rabi'ah, who was the son of Nizar. Hence he was a Namiri, belonging to the tribe of Banu Namir from his father's side. His mother was Salma, who was the daughter of Qa'id or Qu'aid, who was the son of Mahil, Bilha ila Bilha, who was the son of Khuza'a, Bil Alif ila Bitta, who was the son of Malik, who was the son of Mazin, who was the son of Malik, who was the son of Amr, who was the son of Tamim. Hence, he was Al-Mazini, belonging to the tribe of Banu Mazin from his mother's side. So from his father's side, he was a Namiri, and from his mother's side, he was a Mazini. His father, according to one opinion, and according to another opinion, his Am, his Chacha, his paternal uncle, and according to a third opinion, both of them were appointed the governor of Ubulla by Kisra, the Persian king. Ubulla is a city not too far away from Basra. And Suhaib radiallahu anhu was born in a village in the town of Mosul in Iraq, near the Tigris River. The Roman armies attacked this town, and along with looting and plundering it, they also kidnapped Suhaib radiallahu anhu when he was just a young boy, and they enslaved him. His sister Umayma and his uncle Labid, his chacha, his am, they went to every gathering and every place looking for him, went to every shop, market, every festival, but they could not find him. So he grew up among the Romans, and this is the reason why he started to be called a Rumi. Until he was young, and this is when they sold him off to some members of the Banu Kalb tribe. They brought him to Mecca, and they sold him off to Abdullah bin Judaan At-Taymi, who at that time in the Jahiliyyah was known among the Arabs for being very generous and kind and for feeding the poor and taking care of the weak. So after he bought Suhaib radiallahu anhu, he immediately freed him. So according to this narration, he was a taymi wala'an, because he was freed by his master, who was from the Banu Taym tribe. Hence he was regarded to be from among them. This is according to one narration. According to another narration, he ran away from the Romans when he was old enough to escape. And then he entered into an alliance of protection and security with Abdullah bin Jud'an al-Taymi. And he lived with him until he passed away. So according to this narration, he was a Taymi Hilfan. That means he was regarded to be a member of the Banu Taym tribe because he entered into an alliance with one of its members. And in those days, if anyone gave protection, then they were regarded to be a member of that entire tribe. So according to one opinion, he was a Taymi Wala'an. According to another opinion, he was a Taymi Hilfan. And from his father's side, he was a Namidi. And from his mother's side, he was a Mazini. So among the virtues of Suhaib radiallahu anhu is, he was min as-sabiqin al-awwaleen. He was among the early Muslims. And those who accepted Islam in the beginning, they hold a special virtue and distinction among the Sahaba because of all of the torture and punishment and persecution that they had to face at the hands of the mushrikeen of Mecca. So Suhaib radiallahu anhu and Ammar radiallahu anhu, the famous Sahabi, they both accepted Islam on the same day. So they both ended up coming to the door of the house of Arqam radiallahu anhu, which was the house at that time in the beginning of Islam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose to do all of his dini, da'wati, islahi, and tarbiyati efforts. So when they reached the house and the door of the house of Arqam radiallahu anhu, Ammar radiallahu anhu said to Suhaib, "What brings you here?" So he said, "First you tell me why you are here." So he said, "I came to listen to the speech of Muhammad and about his new religion. What is this new religion that he's calling towards?" So then he said, "I came for the same reason too." So Ammar radiallahu anhu says, "We both entered upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He presented Islam to us and we immediately accepted Islam." So when they accepted Islam, there were approximately just over 30 believers who had accepted Islam. So both of them are among the first 40 Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in to accept Islam. But at that time, most of the believers, they had hidden their Islam out of fear of being persecuted and punished and tortured by their own family members and the mushrikeen of Mecca. However, Suhaib radiallahu anhu was among the first companions to openly express his Islam despite being in a foreign land and despite being tortured a lot. This is the reason why Mujahid rahimahullah says, أَوَّلُ مَنْ أَظْهَرَ إِسْلَامَهُ سَبْعَةٌ النَّبِيُّ وَأَبُو بَكْرٍ وَبِلَالٌ وَصُهَيْبٌ وَخَبَّابٌ وَعَمَّارُ بْنُ يَاسِرٍ وَأُمُّهُ سُمَيَّةٌ رضي الله عنهم أجمعين فأما النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فمنعه الله وأما أبو بكر فمنعه قومه وأما الآخرون فأخذوا وألبسوا أدراع الحديد ثم أصهروا في الشمس. So the first Muslims to openly declare that they are Muslims without any fear, despite this being a time when majority of the believers had hidden their Islam for right causes, because they were being persecuted, were seven. Number one was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and Bilal radiallahu an, and Suhaib radiallahu an, and Khabbab radiallahu an, and Ammar radiallahu an, and his mother, Sumayyah radiallahu anhu majma'in. As for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala protected him. Wallahu ya'asimuka minan nas. So Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from the harm of the people. They will not be able to harm you. And as for Abu Bakr radiallahu an, his community protected him. And as for the others, they were taken by the mushrikeen of Mecca and they were made to wear iron armors. And then they were made to lay down in the scorching heat of Arabia in front of the sun until their skin and flesh burnt and melted away. This is the reason why Urwa bin Zubayr rahimahullah, who was the son of Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu an, he was min kibari tabi'in. And his brother Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhumah was a sahabiyul jaleel. So Urwa bin Zubayr rahimahullah says, kana suhaybun min al-mustada'afin min al-mu'minin alladhina kanu yu'adhabuna fi Allah bi Makkah. Suhayb radiallahu anhu was among the weak companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who accepted Islam in the early days, and he was tortured a lot for the sake of Allah. So these Sahaba, they enjoyed a special distinction and virtue in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of all of the persecution that they went through. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. Those who accepted Islam before the conquest of Mecca in the early days, and they went through a lot of difficulties, those who accepted Islam and spent in the path of Allah and fought after the conquest of Mecca, they are not equal. أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا. They are greater in rank than those who accepted Islam after the conquest of Mecca, and they spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they fought. وَكُلَّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised all of the Sahaba a most excellent Jannah. So all of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are maw'ud bil jannati wal maghfirati wal ajri al azim. They have been promised Jannah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and great reward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared His pleasure upon them, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. So because of the special rank that they had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the mushrikeen of Makkah looking down at them, their another virtue and distinction of theirs is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, and by distinction every believer and every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, have been commanded, and Rasulullah was commanded, and we have been commanded to be in the company of such people. So once, when some leaders of the Quraysh were passing by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was sitting with Suhaib, Bilal, Ammar, and Khabbab radiallahu anhum, they started to make fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they said, are you pleased with sitting in the company of these lowly people? If you chase them away, then we will accept Islam and we will sit in your company. So this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses like, وَصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَلَا تَعَدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by extension every ummati of yours and every believer of the Quran, keep yourself steadfast in the company of those who call upon their Lord in the morning and evening, thus seeking His pleasure only, and do not let your eyes turn away from them, desiring the beauty of the life of this world. فِيهِ فَضْلُ مُجَالَسَةِ الْفُقَرَاءِ. In it, there is virtue in staying in the company of the poor and the weak. And similar verses like, وَأَنذِرْ بِهِ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَن يُحْشَرُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ لَيْسَ لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ وَلِيٌّ وَلَا شَفِيعٌ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. Warn through this Qur'an, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all those who fear being assembled in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after being resurrected from their graves, in such a state that for them will not be anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a protector, friend, guardian, and ally, and no intercessor on their behalf in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that perhaps it is hoped that they will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will refrain from disbelief in shirk and sin. So the entire Quran is hidayah, is a source of guidance for all humanity. But only those who fear the Day of Judgment, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear having to give account in front of Him, they are the only ones who will truly benefit from the guidance of the Quran. And that's why Allah ta'ala says, هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is a source of guidance for those who have taqwa, although in other verses Allah ta'ala says, هُدَلْ لِلنَّاسِ. So the Quran is a guidance for all humanity, but only those who have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear of standing before Him, they are the ones who will truly benefit from the guidance of the Quran. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Those who fear standing before their Lord after death, and one day we have to give account for all of the action that we do, and this causes them to prevent their lowly self from following any desire and action that goes against the deen of Islam and the deen of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for them will be Jannah as their final abode. ولا تطرد الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه. And O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the request and demand of the mushrikeen of Makkah, do not chase away these companions who call their Lord morning and evening, seeking His pleasure only. So this is their virtue. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was encouraged and commanded to stay in their company, and by extension every believer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and every ummati of his. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, which is also a virtue of Suhaib al-Rumi radiyallahu an, As-subbaqu arba'atun, ana sabiqu al-arabi, wa Suhaibun sabiqu al-Rum, wa Salmanu sabiqu farisin, wa Bilalun sabiqu al-Habash, rawahu al-Hakim. The four forerunners to Islam ethnicity wise are Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says regarding himself, ana sabiqul arab, among the Arabs I am the forerunner to Islam, and among the Romans Suhaib radiyallahu anhu is the forerunner to Islam, and among the Persians Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu an is the forerunner to Islam, and among the Ethiopians Bilal radiyallahu anhu is the forerunner to Islam. They are the as-subbaq Al-Arba'a, the forerunners to Islam, ethnicity-wise. So this is also one of the virtues of Suhaib radiyallahu an. And whoever lays the foundation of any good action, anyone who comes after them, and they will get their reward. So everyone who accepted Islam min al-Arab after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will get the reward. Every Roman that accepted Islam after Suhaib radiyallahu an, he will get the reward. Every Persian that accepts Islam after Salman radiyallahu anhu, he will get the reward. And every Ethiopian that accepts Islam after Bilal radiyallahu anhu, he will get the reward. Man sanna sunnatan hasanatan falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha la yunqasu min ujurihim shay'an. So whoever sets forth and establishes any good action, anyone who follows them thereafter, he will get all of the reward ila yawm al-qiyamah, so long as that action is being done, and his action will not be diminished in any way. So it's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the person doing the action some reward, and then Allah ta'ala will take away some of his reward and give it to the person who initiated the action. No, both the doer of the action and the person who guided and became the cause of the action and laid the foundation of it, they will get full reward. لا ينقص من أجورهم شيئا. Their reward will not be diminished at all. So after accepting Islam, he went through a lot of difficulties at the hands of the mushrikeen of Makkah, to such an extent that they did not let him leave Makkah freely. So he was among those Sahaba who had to give up everything in order to migrate to Medina Munawwara. So he says regarding himself that when I intended to migrate to Medina, and he was the last Sahabi radiallahu anhu to migrate to Medina Munawwara, And the second to last Sahabi to migrate to Medina Munawwara was Ali radiallahu anhu. So he says regarding himself that when he was about to migrate to Medina Munawwara, the mushrikeen of Mecca stopped him. And they told him that you came here as a very poor, destitute person, and then you acquired a lot of wealth here, and you reached what you reached of wealth and property, and now you want to just leave with all of your wealth and property? Wallah, we will not let this happen. So then he came off of his camel, and he said to them that you know that from among all of you, I am the best archer. So long as I have a single arrow in my quiver, I will fight you. And after all of my arrows are finished, I will take my sword and I will fight you to the best of my ability. فَفَعَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. So you can do whatever you want. And if you want, I can guide you to my house and my property and all of my wealth. You can take all of it and in return, free my path. Let me migrate to Medina Munawwara. So they accepted this offer. So when Suhaib radiallahu anhu migrated to Medina Munawwara, on his way when he was in Quba, this is when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a guest in the house of Kulthum bin Hidam radiallahu anhu, and with him was Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. So they were invited by Kulthum bin Hidam radiallahu anhu for food in his house in Quba. So Suhaib radiallahu anhu, on his way to Medina Munawwara, he met up with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this house, and they were having fresh ripe dates, rutab. So he didn't eat anything for some time. The only food that he was able to take with him was a small amount of flour that he had kneaded himself, and he ate it. But he felt he was very hungry from the journey. And because of the difficulty of the journey, he had a sore and a swollen eye. So in Arabic, it's called Ramid, Ashube Chasham. So this is when he also started to eat like some of the dates. So Umar radiallahu anhu started to joke with him, because Umar radiallahu anhu had a lot of love for Suhaib radiallahu anhu, and they were very close friends. And so this is an example of a light-hearted discussion that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have with his companions. They would also occasionally joke with one another. So Umar radiallahu anhu said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, look at Suhaib. He's eating fresh, ripe dates despite his eye being sore and swollen. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Suhaib, you're eating dates and your eyes are swollen and sore. So he said, إِنَّمَا أَكُلُ بِشِقِّ عَيْنِي الصَّحِيحَةِ. I am eating them from the corner of my healthy eye. فَتَبَسَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم smiled. In one narration, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم smiled so much that his molars became visible. صلى الله عليه وسلم. So there's an entire chapter in the Shama'il, بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي مِزَاحِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, of how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would joke and have light discussions with his light-hearted discussions with his companions radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. رَوِّحُ الْقُلُوبَ سَاعَةً فَسَاعَةً. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give comfort to your hearts from time to time. And then Suhaib radiyallahu anhu said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I migrated alone, so that's why the mushrikeen of Mecca, they took advantage of me. And in return for me migrating to Medina Munawwara, I had to give everything away to them. So I came to Medina Munawwara empty-handed. This is when the following verse was revealed. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بِتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Among the people are those who sold their soul and gave up everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His pleasure alone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most kind with His servants. So after this verse was revealed regarding Suhaib radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to console and comfort him, said, رَبِحَ صُهَيْبٌ رَبِحَ صُهَيْبٌ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ رَبِحَ الْبَيْعُ أَبَا يَحْيَا رَبِحَ الْبَيْعُ أَبَا يَحْيَا. So the kunya of Abu Yahya was given to Suhaib radiallahu anhu by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself as a way of showing shafaqah to him, and a title of endearment that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to him. O Suhaib, O Abu Yahya, this transaction that you made, giving up everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have profited in this transaction. So this transaction of yours, this is profitable. Inna Allah ishtara min al-mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahumul jannah. So the mabi' and the item that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purchased from us is our life and our wealth. So we cannot live our life and spend our wealth however we want. We have to spend our life and our wealth in accordance to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what will we get in return? What is the price that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us? The thaman. It is Jannah. Everlasting Jannah for just like few years of difficulty and sacrifice in practicing the deen and following His commandments. A life of 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, but then what does a person get in return? He gets everlasting Jannah. وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي بَايَعْتُمْ بِهِ. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rejoice in the transaction that you, O believers, have made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a profitable transaction it is. So after migrating to Madina Munawwara, he was hosted in the house of Sa'ad bin Khaythamah radiallahu anhu. So Sa'ad bin Khaythamah radiallahu anhu, he had taken in all of the companions who migrated alone. So among them was Suhaib radiallahu anhu. And then when after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam formed a bond of brotherhood between him and Harith bin As-Sammah radiallahu anhu, mu'akhat, this is when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam moved into the house of Harith bin As-Sammah radiallahu anhu. Another virtue and distinction of Suhaib radiallahu anhu is, despite being among the early companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a lot of love for him, and he stayed in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam a lot, due to his extreme level of caution, he narrates very few ahadith, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Due to having fear of the following hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this hadith prevented many of the senior sahaba and many of the early companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam not to narrate too many ahadith, due to the extreme level of caution, despite being with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for a long time. And that hadith is, مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. And that person who fabricates a lie against me, may he make his abode in the hellfire. So Suhaib radiallahu anhu, in the books of hadith, we find only approximately 30 ahadith that he has narrated. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he only narrates a handful of ahadith. And his incident regarding this is also very famous. So one of the narrations that is narrated by Suhaib radiallahu anhu is, مَا آمَنَ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنِ اسْتَحَلَّ مَحَارِمَهُ. And that person who has deemed lawful what the Qur'an has deemed unlawful has not believed in the Qur'an. He is also the narrator of the famous hadith, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. Amazing is the condition and affair of the believer. Indeed, every affair and condition of his, all of it is a source of good for him. If a good condition befalls him, he is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a cause of goodness for him. And if any difficulty befalls him, then he is patient, and being patient upon difficulty is also a cause of goodness for him. وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And this distinction only belongs to the believer. To be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in good conditions and to be patient in difficult conditions. He is also the Sahabi radiallahu anhu who narrates the famous hadith in Sahih Muslim, the lengthy hadith wherein the story of the Ashab al-Ukhdud is mentioned. Ashab al-Ukhdud. So it is befitting that he is the narrator of this hadith because he also went through a lot of torture for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the story of Ashab al-Ukhdud in the lengthy narration in Sahih Muslim is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to in Surah Al-Buruj. So this is referring to an incident that happened in the past before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودٌ وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٌ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. May the people, the disbelievers, who dug up a big pit and they lit a fire in it. So Ukhdud is a fire pit with fuel, and they threw the believers into it. May all of them be destroyed and perished. إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودٌ, when they sat over it, while they themselves were witness to what they were doing to the believers, they took vengeance against them and were hostile towards them, and their only crime that they found due to which they did this to them was illa an yu'minu billahi al-aziz al-hamid. Their only crime was they were believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the All-Praised. So even if no one praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is still Hamid. He is worthy of all praise. And the being to whom belongs the kingdom and dominion of the heavens and the earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness to everything. So they will pay for all that they have done, and nothing goes unpunished in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Maliki Yawmiddin, a Maliki Yawmil Jaza', the king and master of the day of recompense. So if anyone did any good deed, he will see it on the day of judgment. And if anyone did any misdeed, he will also see its recompense on the day of judgment. Indeed, those who persecuted and punished and tortured the believing men and women only because they were believers, and thereafter they did not repent, فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. For them awaits a punishment, the punishment of the hellfire, and for them awaits the punishment of the everlasting burning. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes them to live like a longer life, a healthier life, because sometimes these type of questions come to our minds when we see like what's going on in the world and we cannot make sense of it. But Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. So the only reason why they are given respite and a longer life and they are not punished immediately in the dunya is so that they can get the full punishment in the hereafter. And the more they live, the more sins they will commit, so their punishment will be even more greater. So their real punishment they will see in the hereafter. And no injustice and oppression goes unwarranted and unpunished in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is also the narrator of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the people of Jannah seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ru'yata bari ta'ala, being able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah, is the greatest ni'mah. So the famous hadith is, when the people of Jannah enter Jannah and when the people of Jahannam enter Jahannam, a caller will call out that inna lakum inda Allahi azza wa jalla maw'idan yuridu an yunjizakumuh. Indeed, for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a promise that He wishes to fulfill. So then they will say, what is this promise? Hasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already given us everything? Has He not made our scale of deeds heavy? Has He not made our faces bright and radiant? Has He not caused us to enter Jannah? And has He not brought us out and saved us from the fire of Jahannam? What more can we ask for? فَيُكْشَفُ لَهُمُ الْحِجَابُ فَيَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُ وَهِيَ الزِّيَادَةِ. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this is when a veil will be uncovered and they will be looking and gazing at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the ziyadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to in the Quran. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةِ. For those who excel in doing good deeds and they are kind to others. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا. Those who excel in doing good. This is referring to fulfilling حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ, حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ. And أَحْسَنُوا أَيْ إِلَى النَّاسِ. And those who are kind to others, they fulfill the حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ. So those who fulfill the حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ and the حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ, for them is the most excellent, beautiful Jannah. الْحُسْنَى أي الجنة الحسنى وزيادة, and something more and extra. So what is the ziyada referring to? The extra and something more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them upon, more and upon the great beautiful Jannah that they will be given. That is النَظَرُ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, to have the ability to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. That is why the Sufiya say that the greatest punishment of the disbelievers is not that they will be burning in the hellfire forever and ever. Their biggest punishment is that they will be barred from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ. On that day when the believers will be given the reward and the ladhah of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day the disbelievers will be barred from this bounty. And then Allah ta'ala says, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ. And then they will enter the hellfire and they will burn in it. So the Sufiya say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ, before he says, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ, because this is a bigger punishment. The biggest punishment for the disbelievers is that they will be deprived of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a Day of Judgment. So Suhaib radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu, they were very close friends. So this is why when Umar radiallahu anhu was stabbed, and then this stabbing is what eventually led to his martyrdom radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So temporarily he appointed Suhaib radiallahu anhu as the imam in salah in the congregation. This is due to the extreme level of mahabbah that he had for Suhaib radiallahu anhu, to such an extent that he made wasiyah that Suhaib radiallahu anhu should lead his salatul janazah. And they had a lot of bi'a takallufi, and they were very close to one another. And we had mentioned the incident of how they joked. There's another incident when where Umar radiallahu anhu was joking with Suhaib radiallahu anhu, and he asked him three questions. He said that you call yourself Abu Yahya, but you don't have any son by the name of Yahya. So then how can you call yourself the son of Yahya? So then he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave me this patronym. Second question he asked him is, you claim to be a Arab, but everyone calls you a Rumi. So you're Roman, you're not an Arab. So he said that I am the descendant of Namir bin Qasid, who was a pure Arab from the land of Mosul in Iraq. And the reason why the people started calling me a Rumi is because I was kidnapped by them when I was a young boy, and I was raised among them, and I started to pick up their language. So then the people just started calling me a Rumi, but ethnicity-wise and biologically, I am a pure Arab. Because when I was kidnapped, I was old enough to know my lineage and who I was and where I came from. And then the third question was, Suhaib radiallahu anhu was known for being very generous. So he used to feed a lot of people, and he was known for being very hospitable. So Umar said to him, you feed a lot of people. What is the reason for this? So he said, my basis for this is the following hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ خِيَارَكُمْ مَنْ أَطْعَمَ الطَّعَامُ وَرَدَّ السَّلَامُ. The best among you is he who feeds and who replies to the salam. So this is the hadith that has incited me and caused me to feed a lot of people. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also endow us with all of these beautiful qualities of Suhaib radiallahu anhu and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. He passed away in the year 38 Hijri. He was 70 or 73 or 84 years old when he passed away, and he is buried in Jannatul Baqiyah radiallahu anhu wa ardah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all of the companions, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us and give us the tawfiq to follow in their footsteps and be steadfast upon the deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us alive upon Islam, give us death upon Islam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us on the Day of Judgment with the believers. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.